Good morning, everyone. As many of you know, this weekend is Memorial Day week, and you don't have school or work tomorrow, so you get to have a time of rest. You get to have a time of peace, at least for a little bit while. Because I know that also around this time, you know, for many of you who are still in school, it's sort of like, you know, you have finals coming up and then the end of the school year. So that can be very stressful. That can be a time where you're just worrying a lot. And for the college students, I know like by now you guys are already done with it. So you have your time of rest now. But nonetheless, you had to go through that period of time where you had to worry about finals. And it's true, in our life, we will always experience worry. There will always be things that we have to worry about. But have you ever thought about maybe God doesn't want us to worry? Maybe instead of worrying, the proper response is really to turn to God in prayer, to turn to God to trust Him. There once was a man who was in the hospital, and right before his operation, he ran out of the hospital room, down the hallway, like basically screaming. And the receptionist saw him and was like, "Hey, stop, stop. Why are you screaming? Why are you so worried?" Well, he said, "Well, do you know what I heard the nurse say?" The nurse said, "Oh, don't worry about it. It's just a very simple operation. You have nothing to worry about, and I'm sure everything will be okay." And the receptionist said, "I think the nurse was just trying to comfort you, trying to make sure that you weren't frightened." But the man said, "No, the nurse wasn't talking to me. The nurse was talking to the doctor." If you think about it, the doctor is the one who is frightened about the surgery. So that gives a reason for this man to worry. Again, everything that we go through in this life, there will be a point in time where we will worry. We may be worrying about our grades. We may worry about what we're going to do in the future with our lives. We may worry about how other people perceive us. We may be worrying about maybe we have a hard financial situation and we worry about how we're going to be able to provide for our families. We may worry about our friends or family members who may also be going through a hard time or maybe going through some sort of health problems or health issues. So in a sense, it is natural to feel and experience worry. But like I said already, maybe God doesn't want us to worry. Maybe the proper response for us is to pray and to trust in Him. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says this, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." So worry shouldn't be in our vocabulary. Rather, we should pray and turn to trust God. So let us see what God has to teach us through His word today concerning about worry. So if you have your Bibles, please take them out and turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, this is part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. We're going to be reading from verses 25 to 34. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34, please follow along as I read. Jesus says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look to the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Would you bow with me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, again, another Sunday morning to worship you, to learn from your word, and we ask that you continue to teach us. Lord, we may be here today, maybe we feel very burdened. Maybe there's something that's in the back of our mind that we're always so worried about. Maybe it's about our future, maybe it's about what other people think about us, maybe it's about just health issues. No, Father, we are in need. And Lord, we are like going through this desert and we're in search of something that will be able to quench our thirst. Father, I pray that you will teach us through your word. May your word speak to us and show us why we shouldn't have reason to worry, but rather to turn and trust to you. We lift up these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So as you know from the subject of this passage that we read here in Matthew chapter 6, three times Jesus gives us the commandment to not be anxious, or in other words, to not worry. Verse 25, it says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious." Also, jump down to verse 31. "Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?" Also, in verse 34, "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow." Three times in this passage, there is a commandment for us to not be anxious and to not worry. So because it's repeated so many times, it's kind of the subject of the passage, but also it shows that it is important. And again, God doesn't want us to worry or be anxious. So this is the main question that we'll be answering for today in this passage. When are the times that we tend to worry? When are the times that we tend to worry? And from this passage, we'll see three moments where we would find ourselves worrying. So let's start with the first one. Please read with me from verse 25. "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" So this is the first moment in which we will find ourselves to have the tendency to worry. Number one, we worry when we forget what God values. We worry when we forget what God values. In the second part in verse 25, it says, "Is not life more than food? And is the body not more than clothing?" So let's say for those people who worry about food, okay? But what does it say here? You know, that people should be reminded that God values their life. It says here, "Is not life more than food?" So since God does value our life, then wouldn't it entail that he would provide food for us so that we can survive and live, and therefore we shouldn't worry? Now, what about for those people who worry about clothing? But what does it say in this passage? God values our bodies. Look here, it says, "And the body more than clothing?" So since God does value our body, then wouldn't it entail that God will provide for clothing for our body, and as a result, we shouldn't worry? You see, the times that we tend to worry are the times when we forget about God, what God values. Now, I recently preached this passage to the homeless at the Capital City Rescue Mission. And to them, this is something that is real because they are actually worrying about whether they'll have food, whether they'll have clothing or shelter. But for us, we may take all these things for granted. But keep in mind, even though we already have these things, all these things have been provided to us by God. God is the one that provides our basic necessities. However, just because we don't experience wanting the need for food or clothing or shelter, doesn't mean that this passage can't apply to us. Because, you know, there are other things that I know that will cause us to worry, because we forget what God values. So let me give you a couple of examples. Let's say that you are always worrying about what other people are thinking about you. You know, you're worried about your popularity, the clothes that you wear, like how you look according to other people. Maybe you're not happy with the way that your body looks. So that is a worry that you have. But you have to remember, God values your body. God is one that says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. If God values you so much, then you shouldn't have to worry about what other people think. Also, scripture says that God looks at the heart, whereas man looks at the outward appearance. If God values more about your heart and your spiritual life, then that should also give us reason to not worry about what other people think about us. See, the reason why we worry in this situation is because we've forgotten that God values our heart. We've forgotten that God values how he made and created us. Let's say that you are worried about your future, you know, and part of that is, you know, worrying about your tests, your exams, and studying for the SATs, and you're so consumed and worried about that now. But again, you have to remember, God values your life. God values his will in your life. God has a perfect plan in your life. No, the reason why we are worrying about our grades and our exams and whatever it is that's in our life is because we're concerned about our future. What kind of job will we have? What kind of college will we go to? You see, if we remember that God values that he has a perfect and good plan for us, then when it comes down to things like studying, we shouldn't have to worry. We worry when we forget about what God values. And I know when it comes to serving in a church, there comes to be a lot of worries as well, especially for how ministry runs and the results of the ministry. Remember the previous summer, we had a group that went to Mexico for a short-term missions trip. And I remember leading that group for the first time, and I had a lot of worries about, oh, you know, I'm taking a bunch of kids to a different country. What would their parents think? Will we raise enough money to be able to go there? When we get there, will anyone get sick, or will we be safe? So we have all these worries concerning this missions trip. But one way to overcome that worry is to remember that God values missions. God values that his word, the gospel message, be spread to all the people in the earth. If we remember that value, then we can trust that God will provide everything in that mission trip to be able to accomplish that. You see, again, we worry when we forget what God values. Or maybe sometimes in church, there aren't enough leaders. There aren't enough co-workers. Let's say, for example, one week, there might not be enough people who can be able to be on praise team to lead the worship. And we can worry about that. But again, if we remember that God values that he is worshipped, that God values that he is praised, that will still be accomplished. Even though we may have only like one or two people leading worship, God can still be praised. Even if no one were to worship God, scripture says that even the rocks will cry out and worship him. We worry when we forget what God values. So whenever you find yourself worrying, just stop for a moment and think about, okay, what is it that God values? And in order to know what God values, you know what? You need to know what he says in his word, right? Because we can't just think, okay, this is what I think God values. We can know what God values by knowing what he says in his word. So once you know what God values, find how does that value relate to the situation where you find yourself worrying. And as a result, that will lead you to not worry anymore and rather turn to trust in God. Well, however, let's say that you find yourself in a situation where you find something that God values, but it doesn't really seem to make you stop worrying. It makes, in fact, it might make you worry even more. So let's say, let's just give an example. Let's say that you cheated on a test, okay? You know that you did something wrong, and now you're worried about whether you will get caught or whether someone had noticed. But you know that God values truthfulness. So because of that, then that doesn't really make you stop worrying, because you know that you did something that was contrary to that. You did something wrong. So sometimes we worry because we had done something wrong. And because we had done something wrong, it's really because we had valued the wrong thing. So another time when we worry is when we value the wrong thing. But even in the times when we did something wrong and we're worrying because of that, we can still be able to find something that be able to give us peace. Because we should remember that God values obedience and repentance. And we know that God values repentance. For us to ask God for forgiveness, then we cannot worry because we know that we can ask God for forgiveness. We know that God will still love us and God will still show us his grace and we can still be forgiven before him. If we remember that God values forgiveness, grace, and God values repentance, we shouldn't find ourselves worrying even when we did something wrong too. So again, when are the times we tend to worry? The first way is when we worry when we forget what God values. And by remembering what God values, it can help us to turn our worry into trust into God. I believe this passage will also teach us a second way, or a second moment where we would find ourselves worrying. Let us read, I'll give you the point right away first. So this is the second moment. We worry when we forget that we are most valuable over all of God's creation. We worry when we forget that we are most valuable over all of God's creation. You know, in Genesis chapter 1, you know, it talks about the creation of the world. And at every step in creation, every time that God created something, God called it good. You know, in verse 3 in chapter 1 of Genesis, God said, "Let there be light." And it was lit. And God saw that the light was good. Okay? So God, after God created light, he called it good. After God created land, he called it good. After God created the water, the skies, the animals, he called it good. But when he created human beings on the sixth day, what did he say? That's right. He's called us very good, which is evidence that shows that we are the most valuable over the rest of God's creation. And we see that here reflected in the passage too. Let's go back. Matthew chapter 6, read verse 26 with me. "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" So you see, God here provides for the birds of the air. God feeds them. So they don't have to worry about anything. And we know that we, as human beings, created by God, we are more valuable than these mere birds. So if we know that God provides for these birds, then we can sort of count on, we sort of trust that God will also provide for us, whether it's food or whatever it is, and we shouldn't have to worry. Look at another example. Jump over to verse 28. "And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" So the same thing here. God clothes the lilies of the fields. And aren't we more important? Aren't we more valuable than mere plants or mere lilies? So this will entail, this would mean that because God provides for even the lilies of the field, God will also provide for us, whether it's clothing, food, or whatever our need is, because we are the most valuable over all creation and we shouldn't have to worry. We worry when we forget that we are most valuable over all of God's creation. So I know all of you may know Auntie Gloria. So right now, Joyce has been renting a room and she's staying at Auntie Gloria's house. And Auntie Gloria, did you know she owns two pets? You know, she has a small dog that's named Kiko and a cat named Happy. So sometimes, even when Gloria is away and she has to go on vacation or something, so she would have to ask Joyce and Joyce to basically take care of the pets. And sometimes I would go over and help too. And you know, when you're taking care of animals, you know, you have to feed them, make sure that they have enough food, make sure that the water is there. And I think like part of the worst thing is that they pee and they poop everywhere. So like at least for the dog, we have to put out like some sort of a cloth. So at least it knows that if it's not outside and it's indoors, it would pee on the little mats that's there. But still, you have to pick it up, throw it in the trash, and replace it. So it's a lot of hard work to take care of animals or take care of pets. You know, some of you own pets and you know that. Or some of you own pets, but you don't take care of them because you let your parents take care of them, which isn't really that responsible either. But let me entertain you with this thought. What if I were to take care of these pets, you know, take care of the dog, take care of the cat, but then I go back and I don't take care of Joyce. I don't talk of her, I don't feed her, I don't give her any love. You know, no human being in their right mind would ever do that, because obviously Joyce is a human being and she is more valuable than animals. But you see, God thinks the same way as well. If you see God taking care of his creation, clothing them, providing for them, feeding them, then you can know that God will provide for you and God will take care of you. And as a result, we shouldn't have to worry, but rather we should trust in God. We worry when we forget that we are most valuable over all of God's creation. So constantly remind yourself that you have great worth in God's eyes and that he will provide. And sometimes it takes for us to surrender to God to know that he will provide, because we get this mindset is, okay, I need to have this opportunity. I need to work. I need to earn money. I need to get a good job. I need to provide for myself. But no, it takes some time to surrender that, because ultimately, God is the one that provides for you. Even though it's you who's going to work, but God is the one that gave you that job. Even though it's you that earns the money, but God is the one that gave you, that provides you with that money to be able to take care of your family. And you can understand why, if there are people in the world who do not believe in God or believe that there's a God that exists, that loves and creates them, then it would make sense that everything is up to them in this dog-eat-dog world and this survival of the fittest. You know, but we believe that there is a God that exists. So we shouldn't have that mindset. We should know that God will provide, and we should know that we are the most valuable thing that he has created. So finally, I believe in this passage, there's one more moment that we'll see where we will have the tendency to worry. Let us read verse 33 in Matthew chapter 6. It says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So when are the times that we tend to worry? Number three, we worry when we do not value seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness as a priority. We worry when we do not value seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness as a priority. So here in verse 33, God gives us a promise. He says that if we as Christians are seeking first the kingdom of God and also seeking his righteousness, so if we're doing that, so that's the condition, the promise is that all these things will be added onto you, that God will provide us for all of our needs. So again, that's another reason that why we shouldn't worry. We shouldn't worry if, in fact, we are seeking God's kingdom and if we are seeking his righteousness. So basically, then comes the question is, what does it mean to seek the kingdom of God? I mean, the kingdom of God isn't necessarily something physical that you look for. I mean, you don't use your binoculars to try to look for it. You don't try to take out your GPS or your Google Maps. I actually, I don't know why I did it. I went to Google Maps and actually typed in the Kingdom of God just to see what will come up. And apparently the Kingdom of God is a Christian bookstore in Pennsylvania. So in case you were wondering. No. So the Kingdom of God isn't something that is physical. Now, we're always such in a modern mindset where we are searching for things that are physical concerning our needs, considering our future. But rather than focus on things that are earthly and material and pursuing these things, God wants us to prioritize pursuing the things that will last and things that will have a greater significance than other earthly and physical things that will eventually perish. So to seek first the kingdom of God is first to have this desire for God's spiritual rule over the hearts of the lives of everyone who are willing to submit to God's authority. To seek God's kingdom first is to pray for his will to be done. And you know in the Lord's Prayer, it says like, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So to seek first the kingdom of God is to pray for his will to be done. To seek first the kingdom of God is also to evangelize, to share the gospel with other people, to disciple them, so help people grow closer to God, and to serve. To seek first the kingdom of God also involves seeking his righteousness. So, you know, we know that Jesus lived a pure and sinless life, and we can be more like him as we live our life and repent of our sins and ask for him to forgive us and to sanctify us. All of these things have an eternal and significant effect. So this is what it means to be seeking first the kingdom of God. Now, on the other hand, rather than seek the kingdom of God, we may find that we are seeking our own physical kingdom. And we know that eventually that will perish. So the question is this: how do I know if I am really seeking first the kingdom of God? So ask yourself this. What are you doing when you're, how are you primarily spending your time and your energy? Is your time, money, energy, resources, is it spent mainly on things that will eventually perish? Or are they spent on things that will serve God, spent on things that have eternal results? Remember how I said that seeking the kingdom of God has a spiritual effect, involves evangelizing and sharing the gospel with other people and discipling other people and praying for God's will to be done. How much of our time, resources, and energy do we spend doing that? And on the other hand, how much time, energy, and resource do we spend on building our own kingdom, something that will only last in this lifetime? See, it says, seek first the kingdom of God. We may seek the kingdom of God, which is good, but here it says, seek first, which shows that our priority should be on the kingdom of God rather than ourselves. So it isn't just merely seeking God's kingdom and serving God and doing all the things the Bible says, but it's to do that first as a priority. And again, if we are seeking first the kingdom of God, as this passage says, there's a promise. And the promise is that we don't have to worry because all these things will be added onto us. All the things that we worry about in this life concerning how God will provide for us, that will be provided for us. That is a guarantee. That is a promise from God. Isn't that something that's great and amazing? If in fact we are seeking God's kingdom first. Let us review everything we've learned in this passage. Again, we had answered the question, when are the times that we tend to worry? And we saw three moments where we worry. So the first moment is we worry when we forget what God values. Again, when we remember what God values, we can trust that God will be able to provide while building on that value. Second, we worry when we forget that we are most valuable over all of God's creation. If God can be able to provide and take care of the lesser creations, then it entails that God will definitely and guarantee provide for us as human beings who is the most valuable that he has created. And finally, number three, as we just mentioned, we worry when we do not value seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness as a priority. Now, if we keep these three moments in our mind, then we shouldn't have to worry in this life. Worry shouldn't even be part of our vocabulary, because again, the proper response in any hard situation is to turn our worry into trust, and trust particularly in God. Now, some people may go as far as to say that if we worry, then we are sinning against God. No, because this passage, like Jesus commands us not to worry, not to be anxious. So if we are worrying, then we are sinning. No, that's debatable. Some people will see it as a sin. Some people may not see that necessarily as a sin, but a natural human emotion. But regardless of where you stand in that, I think we can all agree that God does not want us to worry. Again, our response is to turn to God in prayer and to turn to Him in complete trust. Whatever needs that you have, whatever hurt that you're going through, know that God will provide for you because He loves you. I want to share with you a quote by Hudson Taylor, who is a missionary to China. He said this, "Let us give up our work, our plans, ourselves, our lives, our loved ones, our influence, are all right into God's hands. And then, when we have given all over to Him, there will be nothing left for us to be troubled about." I think there's some wisdom there. If we fully surrender everything to God, then there should be nothing left for us to be troubled or for us to worry about. Let us close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You and we praise You. Lord, thank You for teaching us through this passage. And I know that many of us, we may have a lot of worries and concerns right now. We may have a lot of fears about our future. We may have a lot of hurts that is inside. But Lord, continue to remind us that You are here, that You do love us. Thank You for revealing and showing to us those times when we find ourselves worrying before You. Lord, forgive us when we lack faith in You. Forgive us when we would rather try to trust ourselves in our own strength rather than trust in You. Lord, help us to repent and turn our worry over to You, to turn and trust in You. Father, even tomorrow, even if we can have a break, maybe we are going on vacation because of Memorial Day, we know that we have this time to rest a bit. But I pray that we will spend this time to return back to You. In this calm right before the storm, as we may have to go back to work, maybe have to go back to school later on in the week. So right before going back into this war zone, I pray that You would equip us and help us to have our foundation firm against You so that nothing that Satan will throw our way will be able to affect our relationship with You. Father, help us not to worry. Help us to turn fully and trust in You. And we lift up these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.